We have a caller on the line. Hi, Matt. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, hi, Rob. I just want to say that I'm not affected by this because I, unless you raise property taxes at all, but I don't live on a road, so I just have an opinion. One, I think I heard the, was it Hugh that said that the, we pay a tax in vehicle use, the wear and tear of city vehicles by not upgrading the roads?
Yeah, accelerated depreciation.
All right, I just wonder why the city of Sitka needs so many vehicles. When I first moved here, in, '70s, the city harbor department had one truck, and I don't even remember what the police department had. But now, just the other day up at the state at Fish and Game, I counted 7 police vehicles parked in the parking lot. And three pursuit vehicles and four-wheel drive vehicles and then a truck and some other vehicles. I don't understand why the town of Sitka, with the population that really hasn't grown much since the 70s, has so many more vehicles.
Are you talking about just the municipal government or the community in general?
Just the municipal government. It just seems that we're looking at a diminished income in the very near future, if not already. I think it's something that's going on all over the country, and yet we're acting like we can continue to spend huge amounts of money on things that are luxuries. I don't think the city police department needs 7 or 8 vehicles. I don't think the harbor department needs as many vehicles as they've got.
All right. Well, Matt, I'm gonna stop you there. I think you've identified an interesting problem. I might be indicative of the larger problem that we probably have increased the amount of traffic in Sitka, not just in the city, but there's probably more cars in general
That's
on the
true.
Road.
That
yeah.
Is
so
true.
I'm gonna let these guys address your question now, Matt. Thanks for the call.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, talk to you later. Yeah, so traffic has gone up. Is that, I mean, are we sort of paying indirectly for having all those great roads, all that great pavement laid down 20 years ago by just having people driving more rigs around?
Interesting thought. I think it's in our culture that we like to drive and have a vehicle for every person in our family to some degree. But, you know, I can definitely support that. It amazes me in spring cleanup, we're taking 130-some vehicles in a year. And I thought when we did that as a freebie, it kind of weeded some out and we'd see it drop off. Boy, every last 3 years we've been doing that, it's steady. So it's amazing the number of vehicles that we see get retired and flow through the system.
Yeah, in a town hall meeting, I think out-of-the-box thinking is definitely welcome. I did get one comment on Facebook, on Raven Radio's Facebook page, about maybe we should incentivize walking, biking, and taking the bus and carpooling. It will reduce wear and tear on the roads. I mean, are we tackling the problem just head-on, or are we going to try and flank it maybe by...
Well, our roads have lasted beyond their normal service life that you would see down south. And the real wear and tear you get on the roads is the freeze-thaw when they deteriorate and crack and get water under them. Heavy truck traffic, which we don't have, your light vehicles really don't do a whole lot to the vehicle, to the road until it's in bad condition. So the life cycle's not that much affected one way or the other by that.
All right.
You put buses on it, it will, that loading is significant. That would actually potentially cause more wear, actually. Mm-hmm. But that's to reduce congestion. That's where you see the real focus on buses.
Yeah, I would say from my perspective, I'd say over the past several years that Sitka has definitely increased its infrastructure in regard to the bus routes, the bike lanes on HPR, Cross Trail, some of those areas. I think the reality of it is, though, in a climate where it rains 90 inches a year, mm-hmm. can be snowy cold in the winter, that biking and walking may be a solution for part of the time, but it's not it's probably in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to be a solution, necessarily the end-all be-all to our road situation and the deferred maintenance costs on it. It's part of the picture, but it's not the, I don't know that it's a significant piece of that.
Max, this popped in my head, is kind of off the wall, but is the amount of traffic, do you consider that as an economic indicator as a businessman when you see a lot of people out?
Absolutely.
Driving around?
Absolutely.
You take that as a good sign?
Absolutely. I've always said that, you look at businesses down south, that you look at the business and say, geez, how can that business be successful, say, in Bellevue, in the Bellevue Square there, and you take the same business and put it in a smaller community, and if you're dropping millions of people in your front door, the potential to have increased business, it's obvious that it would be there. So.
Right. Max, thanks a lot for coming in.
You bet. Thank you.
Tonight, we're stick around if you'd like. There might be a chance for you to talk again later if you'd like to. We're going to bring in Jerry Hope next to talk about creating some incentives maybe for public
transit.
Okay, sounds
good. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate your time. Max Rule is CFO at Hames Corporation. So back to Mark and Michael while Jerry gets settled in here. Have we covered all the slides, Michael?
I think we have. Hopefully I've done an okay job at defining the big picture problem that we're dealing with.
Yeah, and you rattled off some big numbers, and I want to reiterate for folks that you can go to kcaw.org and look for the link for this radio town hall meeting, and we've got Michael's slideshow, so you can see the costs associated in repairing roads that we're looking at, and also some of the revenues that might be available through sales taxes, property taxes, vehicle licensing fees, LIDs, these local improvement districts, and also possible grant funding. But while you're doing that, you can say hi to Jerry Hope. Welcome, Jerry.
Hey, Robert.
And Jerry, you are at the director of the Community Ride?
Actually, the Transportation Director for Sitka Tribe of Alaska.
Okay, Transportation Director for Sitka Tribe of Alaska. And I don't know if you were listening just a moment ago, but we had a comment on Facebook about one part of the solution in Sitka might be to just
I was reading it.
Oh, okay. Incentivize more public transportation. What are your thoughts there?
Yes. I agree. But I will say, too, part of my job is to work on road construction for the tribe. So it's basically two components, public transit, fixed route, and then the road construction portion. Some people may not know, but Sitka Tribe of Alaska is one of a number of tribes nationally that is part of the Tribal Transportation Program. And so we get about $180,000 a year to work on roads. The primary purpose of what we've been building that money up, because everybody knows $180,000 is probably going to get you, 30 feet?
Yeah, something like that. A little more than that, but yeah.
35
feet. Doesn't get you very far.
So what we have chosen to do as a tribe is build those funds up every year as much as we can so we could meet the match for a grant that we received from the state in order to build a bus maintenance facility. One of the things that has been a real issue for us in public transit is to be able to have an adequate facility to maintain our bus fleet. But we've also saved some of that money of what we could for road maintenance. And then also, when I worked with Michael on the Indian River Road Improvement Project, it turned out that at that time we had access to what they called high priority project funds. And so I asked Michael how much did they need to complete that project. And at that time they needed $35,000. And so I applied by way of authorization from the Tribal Council for that amount, and you're able to get about $1 million per project. And we got the full amount. We were rated mm-hmm. number one of all the tribes who applied for high priority project funds. So we helped with the completion of the funding amount necessary to do the Indian River Road Improvement Project. We had some money left over, so we're also finishing up right now some city-owned property down at the head of the Indian River Trail. So we're going to have a bus turnaround, a bus pullout, a brand new bus shelter. So it's going to be 2.5 feet higher than what it used to be. I remember this fall I took a picture of some ducks, a mother duck and her ducklings, going in and out of Indian River onto the pond that was established in that little turnaround area across from Peter Simpson Drive, if those of you who are familiar. So we coordinate with the city as much as we possibly can. One of the requirements for being able to receive and expend those tribal transportation funds is to use it only on those roads and trails that are in the tribe's inventory. And so Indian River Road certainly was in our inventory. And I just want to say, too, that it's a real pleasure to work with the City Public Works Department on construction. We talk the same language. We have very, very similar required processes to use those monies to develop projects. So I just really do appreciate working with the city.
I'm curious, Jerry and Michael, if it's since you are collaborating, are the transportation funding that you're talking about, the tribal monies, are they being spent to build roads to the standard that you believe, Michael, is a more durable and robust road?
Yeah, we've been building with a good standard. Indian River Road was done very well. I think that's a very good example of a residential area and the transformation. I use that one as a great example of going from gravel to full sidewalks and everything and what that does to a neighborhood and a community. It's really impressive for anybody who has spent time seeing the before and after. You couldn't drive down that road without feeling the grit in your teeth and everything else. I can't imagine the kids that walked to the bus shelter down that road when it was gravel, and just it's been a great partnership with the tribe, and you know, I wish we could have brought some money to the table. The state and the feds and the tribe stepped up to do that entire project. So
right. And is this part of where our increased inventory is coming from? Are these rows factored into?
That's factored in that sheet. I have all the road names on there of our 33% increase, and that's a good portion of it.
Because it's federal tribal money that paid for these roads, but it's now Sitka's maintenance.
Sure.
Issue
yep.
In the long
yep.
term. Yeah. But so
what I like, Robert, is that I was listening to some of the program earlier, and it was really nice getting the state funds that the municipal government received in the heyday of pipeline funds. But now the standards are so much better in terms of building a road. So what is going to be built from here on out, I firmly believe, will last much longer because of that.
And that's a good thing, as long as we set up the mechanism to.
Yeah, I think replacing them, and then the preventative maintenance is absolutely key to having them last longer. Pavement will not last longer than 20 to 25 years, period, no matter what, unless we get on some type of overlay and preventative maintenance program.
All right, you're listening to a live radio town hall meeting over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. We're talking about roads, how to pay for pavement in Sitka. You can call in. I've got Municipal Administrator Mark Gorman is here, Public Works Director Michael Harmon, and Jerry Hope, who's the Transportation Coordinator for the Sitka Tribe of Alaska. Jerry is one of a rotating guest panel that we've had in this evening, and we'd like to hear your ideas, too, because we are looking for $2.7 million a year to get Sitka up on step to keep our road maintenance current. We mentioned when we were talking about the Indian River subdivision what a dramatic transformation it was to go from gravel to pavement in that neighborhood. I think a lot of people have experienced it. Even if you don't live in that neighborhood, you've probably hiked the Indian River Trail.
Mm-hmm.
Should we touch briefly on the reversion to gravel that remains that kind of, you know,
elephant in the room.
Yeah, the ultimate where we're headed. If nothing, mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. the do nothing option. I guess.
Just want to add one comment. I want to insert this earlier and didn't get a chance, but there is a growing body of knowledge suggesting that these gravel roads contribute to health complications, and in fact, we've just recently heard that EPA is funding some road work in Juneau because of the dust factor. And so we're looking more closely into that to see if we can access some of those funds and get a better understanding of what those health concerns are.
Well, it's not pleasant on a dry day for sure. And it may not necessarily be all that less expensive. I think I've heard you, Michael, talk about the expense of gravel roads is maybe more than people realize.
Yeah, it's hard to quantify what the value of quality of your life and your health and everything else that you could roll into that. Hugh Bevan made a good point to the repair and maintenance to your vehicle. It's all expensive. And how you quantify that. The pure maintenance of it, sure. Just what city crews would have to do is reduced from the total life cycle cost of a paved road if you're paying for it all. But the health issues we'll get hit from DEC from our salmon streams getting sediment in it to air quality control, and it's a very challenging. It's why communities you really don't see gravel roads anymore, and everybody's made that transformation. The standards do not support it that we'd be up against environmentally.
The number is 747-5877 to call if you'd like to get in on this town hall discussion about funding and maintaining Sitka's roads. Jerry, my question for you is, I know the community ride relies heavily on grant funding to get up and going. Would you be able to make a convincing case for the community ride if you were running your buses over gravel?
Yeah, I think I could make a case even under paved roads, but I do know that the paved roads are, even with paved roads, the expense for wear and tear is quite a bit. Under gravel roads, it would just skyrocket. I actually think it will do a little research and find out nationally what that might be for some other communities, and then I share that information with the Public Works Department, and it just and I do know, after going to numerous Alaska Tribal Transportation Symposiums that are held every year, consistently we bring up experts on dust and what that does for not just the environment but also people health. It's pretty damaging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a great example, kind of success story on that. Granite Creek's impaired water body, and the biggest attributor to getting that off the list was paving Granite Creek and the testing that we did on the river of drop and sediment, and everything made a huge difference. And there's an opportunity to take that off the impaired body because of that.
Just the road up to the golf course,
yep.
You mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To the gravel pit.
I can see that. Jerry, did you have anything else to throw in tonight?
The only other thing, excuse me, Robert, is that I really look forward to working even more so with the city. We have a working relationship with the Alaska Department of Transportation as well. It's been ongoing, but I think that nowadays more than ever, with the decrease in funding nationally and statewide, that coordination is going to be really of essence for us to follow through on.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Jerry Hope, for coming in this evening. Feel free to stick around if there's time at the end and somebody addresses one of your points and you'd like to clarify something, there might be time for you to come back in at
Absolutely.
The end. Absolutely. But I appreciate your participation tonight. Jerry Hope is transportation coordinator for the Sitka Tribe of Alaska, and Jerry is going to be stepping out, and he'll be replaced by Senator Bert Stedman, our state senator, who in some respects doesn't really necessarily own this problem as he owns so many other problems, but he's always
what an interesting one.
He's never failed to have an idea when it comes to I don't know, creatively financing life in Sitka. Good evening, Senator.
Well, good evening. It's nice to be here, and it's nice to come in and try to help the communities work on solving this problem that not only Sitka faces, but quite frankly, all of the communities, major communities in Southeast that have payment are struggling. Communities the size of Craig all the way through Juneau with the same issue. So we're not alone. We might be alone on the island, but we're not alone with this problem. And there are solutions.
I mean, are the numbers in other communities as staggering as they are for Sitka? I mean, I think Michael described a total package that's a $50 million problem.
Well,
is Ketchikan in that ballpark?
I would think they're larger. And Craig being smaller. But I think it'd be a high correlation with the size of the community to the scope of the problem. Because when we were getting a lot of state funds in Sitka paving roads, so were the other communities. And it was a lot of activity going on in the 80s. And as mentioned earlier, the roads are aging now. So we'll work on that.
All right. We have a question on Facebook. Let's see. Has the city considered getting itself into the asphalt business? Would having our own batch plant and training city crews to pave help bring down cost to resurface old roads and put surface on new roads?
Let me jump into that one.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think so. It's best left for private enterprise. And also a batch plant, if there was paving going around in several communities, they could move around a lot, be more efficient. One of the things that we're trying to do statewide, and we need to also look at it here, is using harder aggregate in our asphalt so we get a longer life of our roads. The roads that we have been paving, I'm talking about the state, the last half a decade or a little longer, they're worried about a length of life too short because of studded tires and too soft of aggregate. And we do have a hard spot of aggregate at the tip of Gavin Hill, and I'm not quite sure where else in the community we'd have that really hard rock. I'm hoping that we'll have some hard rock out in Catlin when we eventually get there. And if we can, mix in some harder aggregate and some state funding, then we could help with that problem. I'd like to throw out another idea.
Ideas are what it's all about.
And that's something to think about. I know there's a lot of pressures and needs, but, if we had a conversation of possibly taking some of the head tax money in future years and redirecting it to Lincoln and Catlin along the waterfront here, maybe we can cut that whole portion of those roads out of the equation and rely on head tax money, because one of the challenges we have with head tax money is what are we going to do when we build out the waterfront? The head tax money is still going to come in and possibly even faster and more furious, because we would have enhanced our visitors industry.
Who do you have to make that case to in order to use head tax money in that way?
If it's for the benefit of the visitors, I think we can make the case. Clearly, having safe roads for them to walk on and move around our community and have a nice visit in Sitka, I think we can make that case.
All right. We had a question on Facebook that is kind of interesting. I'll just sort of read it as it's written and let you guys take a swing at it. Under the Sitka Comprehensive Planning Update in 2007, road maintenance funding was identified as a current pressing community issue. Again, this is from 7 years ago. In Section 2.3, Governmental and General Infrastructure Goals, it stated that the city would maintain a pavement management overlay program for existing paved streets and develop a funding mechanism to adequately support street maintenance and reconstruction. Could the administrator and public works director outline what steps have been taken in the last 7 years to achieve these stated objectives? Has the ball been dropped, or is the ball just now landing in our hands?
Well, I've been here for 5 years, and there wasn't a program when I got here, but I've laid it all out. We have all the numbers. We have a plan laid out and what would be priority order, all the costs, all the streets, when we would do them. And it's there. It's the funding that's not there, so it sits there idle and not able to move forward. So I've I think I've made it very apparent probably the second year I was here. I had all that laid out. And
so your answer is it might not have been in 2007, but it is now.
Right.
We're ready to go.
All right. Senator Stedman, you mentioned that the problem is sort of shared region-wide. I know a lot of people come to you and they're looking for state solutions, but I wonder if you could just step out of your waistcoat for a minute and just think about this as a citizen of Sitka, given your background in finance. Mm-hmm. Are we sort of on the right track with what you've been hearing tonight, or is there something we're overlooking entirely?
No, I think we're kind of on the right track to have a good dialogue in the community, but clearly it's an issue that's throughout Southeast and actually throughout the whole state of Alaska. Or even you can even jump into the deferred maintenance at the university or the billions in deferred maintenance at the state level. It's always going to be there in organizations. Heck, I think the Romans had deferred maintenance on their roads. It's just one of the things that society lives with, and we have to struggle with it from time to time. I think this is fixable and doable. I'm not personally too excited about increasing a bunch of taxes to deal with it. I am interested in getting our fair share of oil revenue with the repeal of Senate Bill 21, which will help facilitate things like this. Because without that, they just pushed back down into the laps of the taxpayer because the state doesn't have the money it should have. The state clearly had the funds to pave these roads, most of them, and we should be in the fiscal position to assist the communities in doing their maintenance. So there was money in this year's capital budget for Craig for some of their paving. It was in a top of their list for an issue to be addressed. It's always a little bit of a challenge to work with municipal paving because it's not, frankly, a state-mandated issue, but it is doable. And when the Assembly looks at this problem and decides how to deal with it and happen to put, paving issue at the top or near the top of the capital list, there's a good chance it'll get funded. And let's also not forget we're moving beyond Blue Lake, which was a huge capital call for years. And we'll hopefully have the ability the next few years to do a little more at City Hall to help them chip away with some of these other problems.
The number is 747-5877 if you'd like to pose an idea or comment or question for our town hall meeting on how to pay for pavement in Sitka. You can also email us news@kcaw.org or contribute to this lengthy Facebook thread that's developing on our Raven Radio Facebook page. Senator, stepping back into your sort of role as a legislator, Michael and Mark have been talking about creating a sustained revenue stream, and with the state, it's been a matter of grant here, a grant there, working, sort of playing the game to mm-hmm. to get money on a per project basis. Are you suggesting that the state should have or shall or ought to consider creating some kind of sustained revenue stream to maintain a lot of this overlay that was built at state expense?
Broader than that, I think the sustained revenue stream comes off of getting a fair value for our hydrocarbon. But with that being said, once we do collect that and sell that hydrocarbon, it's a policy call on what we're going to spend it on. And clearly, the state could direct its effort to help the municipalities with the maintenance of the city streets. So it's kind of I'd like to bifurcate your question, I guess, is...
Oh, you're welcome to. I'm not sure what that is, but you can.
Separate out your question and redirect the answer.
Here's another Facebook question. What about chip seal? Washington State uses it a lot in rainy environments, and I know we have kind of a mixed relationship towards chip seal, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, chip seal's challenging in Southeast Alaska. When you put chip seal down, you need to have very dry weather. It's very sensitive. Our contractors are not set up to do it. We've convinced the state DOT to come with their crews and did a test run over the top of Lake Street as an overlay, and didn't last with our snow plows, pulled it back up, and it wasn't a real success. But, you know, we learned from that, I think. I think it has some potential if a contractor was to make that available for our graveled roads. That's where my biggest interest is. So in Gavin Hill subdivision or Hillside, some of these that are gravel, it'd be a step up from that. And if we put down a real thick, heavy layer of that, you know, it could work if we hit the weather right and would be a cheaper option. But I would hate to see our paved roads go backwards to a product like that, and I think we'd be unhappy with the money spent versus the value we'd get.
We tried the two chip seal projects. I remember were I guess Lake Street up to the high school, and then right. Halibut Point Road. And would you consider Lake Street worked out okay, and Halibut Point Road was kind of mixed?
Halibut Point Road actually did better. Can I bifurcate that question? No, Halibut Point Road did better. They did get a wearing course on that helped, you know, through the studded tires and so forth to get a little bit more life out of that. But Lake Street, it really didn't do well, and it was an oil issue. We found out that wasn't the right oil to the type of aggregate, so it didn't hear very well.
So just pure appearances may not be the best guide in that case. I thought Lake Street looked better, but Halibut Point Road was actually
holding up.
Lake
Street was originally in much better condition, so even though most of it isn't on Lake Street anymore, it's down to the asphalt again. It looks better because it is in better condition. It was kind of a last-ditch effort to get a few more years out of HPR that the maintenance crew did with the state on that to try that out. But the new job they're doing now is going to be excellent to repave that, and that's the ultimate goal for the longevity, best bang for the buck.
Right, and I suppose we ought to reiterate, just in case folks are just tuning in, and since Senator Stedman's here, that all the work that's going on out either end of the road, that's not really part of the equation tonight, or is it? I mean, they are state highways. It's the funding was pulled through, or the Sawmill Creek Road funding anyway was pulled through when you were in Senate Finance, Senator Stedman, and Halibut Point, mm-hmm. So those are state funded mm-hmm. projects. But I think the question you've raised is that when the state participates in funding municipal thoroughfares, is it making a commitment to maintain those roads in the future?
Technically, no, but clearly if the state has the fiscal resources to do so, it should. And the state of Alaska should have the fiscal resources to be able to do that without a question. So the Halibut Point Road project is probably 6-7 years delayed, unfortunately, and the road is barely passable. And then Sawmill Creek, there was a delay there on the detached bike lane as we worked with DOT to enlighten them on the detached pedestrian path and convince them that's going to get built with the, you know, the last section of Phase 3. And it just so happened they were both piled basically in the same calendar time frame. Unfortunately, they should have been separated. It would have been a little nicer. But they'll be repaved, and those projects will be done here within the next several months. And those projects they're targeted for a 20-year life before the state comes back and looks at them.
Right. Is there a gap just in our government structure in Alaska? We've sort of encountered this before. Elsewhere in the country, you have municipal, county, state mm-hmm. governments, and in Sitka we've got the city and borough of Sitka. We don't really have a county government. In the lower 48, county governments handle a lot of sort of region-wide infrastructure maintenance and construction. Is there just kind of a gap in our system in Alaska that a lot of this stuff does revert to municipalities to take care of?
Oh, I think there might be a little bit of that, but you know, remember, we have vast amounts of land and very few people. So it's a, you know, it's challenging in that regard. And we're the only state that the citizens own the subsurface, the resources of the state.
Right.
So the state of Alaska is far wealthier than the other states when you look at it from that vantage point.
Right. We had a question on Facebook. I think this is for Mark, you and Michael. Beth asks, how can a plan be in place for 5 years but not funded? Hmm. How does that happen?
It's a fairly common occurrence. That was a citizen plan put before the assembly, and the assembly approved it, and funding follow.
Okay, so it's kind of swinging for the fence, maybe, but not necessarily hitting it, connecting on at the time. I would call it
aspirational.
Okay,
hopefully, good planning in the future comes with a revenue plan associated to that. It's easy to put down on paper. We want roads made out of gold and maintained constantly, and it can write that easy, but to produce that and have the revenue stream, and we've seen that the propositions have gone forward to try and fund some of that, and it wasn't a community priority. It has to be a community priority to fund it. It's a community choice. It's not something that can be dictated upon folks.
When those two propositions, again, within the last 2 years, we've had two ballot propositions proposing some form of tax increase, either sales or property, to fund roads or some combination of roads and hospital maintenance, and both were defeated. Does that indicate just an unwillingness to pay more taxes or a lack of concern, a lack of considering roads a priority? I mean, how do you read that in government? How do you parse those numbers?
Well, I wasn't in favor of the mechanism on the hospital. I think the state came forward and took care of that roof issue. I'm personally not in favor of the tax increases elsewhere. I'm concerned of the cost position of Sitka, both in energy and just cost of living here, to stay competitive against the other communities in Southeast. So we maintain a healthy environment in our community, and that we don't end up with escalating costs and fewer people.
All right.
So I think we should be able to solve this without some other mechanism and respect the voters' wishes not to increase taxes.
All right.
At the local level.
Senator Stedman, you can keep your seat there, but I wanted to invite any other panelists who wanted to get in another comment or two tonight before tonight's town hall meeting is over to join us in the studio, and we'll put you on the air. We have a few minutes left.
Rob, let me add on this last comment on that tax issue. I think it's a different question when you talk about an LID area and one of the issues that were brought up earlier about if neighborhoods want to go together and make some changes. Mm-hmm. I think that possibly should have some conversation.
Okay. And how do you think we should best sort of introduce that? How would we play that?
I don't know. I think that would be a good discussion for...
I think we are playing that in the sense that we're testing that ground in that Gavin subdivision. And Michael, I don't know if I can put you on the spot here, but in that plan, we presented a kind of entry-level road, simple road, mid-range and high-range, and the low range would cost a resident there $131 a month to the one with the double guttered road, which was like, do you remember what that?
I think we were pushing $300 a month.
Yeah. Over a 20-year period.
Here,
right.
So it gives you the listeners a sense of what an LID might cost them in their neighborhood.
So we're going to let our panelists, Jerry Hope and Max Rule, have another crack at it here. Jerry Hope, transportation coordinator for Sitka Tribe of Alaska. Something else has occurred to you?
Yeah, a real big issue. My title is director, not coordinator.
Oh, I'm sorry, director.
All joking aside, I understand the dilemma about raising fees to pay for something like infrastructure, and that is a challenge that is in other departments around Sitka. And so at the same time, we really do need the roads addressed, taken care of, and improved. So I think we're going to have to go through perhaps another discussion like this with you, Robert, and perhaps in the community. I don't know how that might play itself out. But we do need to have an internal discussion because people do want better roads, quality roads, than what is deteriorating now. And so how are we going to get it paid for? I think the more we put our heads together, we're going to come up with solutions that maybe not everybody will be happy with, but I think it'll be a solution that majority of us will agree to.
Yeah, I am curious how you all feel that you can kind of connect the dots on this. How do you arrive at consensus when we've had a couple of elections and we've tried, and the problem has been out there. It was identified in 2007, as has been noted on our Facebook comments. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you make sure that this plan just doesn't get kind of shelved like that the 2007 comprehensive
plan? Well, I think there is consensus that we have a problem with our roads, our local roads. I think there's agreement there. I think we've focused in on what the cost is to maintain and upgrade those roads. I think the question before us all is, how do we close the gap? How do we fund that? And that is probably $1 million, $1.2 million, $1.3 million a year. It's not a huge gap at this point. So I think we're close, but we have to come together as a community to figure out how to do that. I think I certainly understand the senator's point of view that we don't want to put a tax burden on the citizens, but in the absence of other opportunities, how do we move forward with this plan? I think that's the question before us.
Yeah, I don't read those propositions going down or failing a lack of support for roads, I guess. I just think it's a lack of support of that funding mechanism. I think we all support roads, and taxes are just such an ugly topic, especially right now in our economy. Everybody's struggling, and it's just a hard thing to look at. And so if there's hope for other alternatives, I think that's what everybody's holding out for, but they're still passionate about roads, and the folks that talk to me. So,
all right. Well, this the slideshow that you prepared, Michael, is going to be available on our website, kcaw.org. It's on our homepage right now, and people who've been listening tonight can see all the numbers and can kind of get a good sense of the shape of the problem and what the possible revenue alternatives are. And maybe there's something out there that we haven't even thought of, but it sounds like you, Michael, and you, Mark, are willing to hear ideas. There is one thing that came in on Facebook. I'll just toss it out there. We don't really have time to talk about it, but have you seen the Solar Road Initiative, www.solarroadways.com? Perhaps Sitka could really go bold and go for a grant for something like that. So
we'll take a look.
Anything.
We're open to all ideas.
Yeah, at $2 million a year, anything's a possibility. So that about wraps it up for tonight. Gentlemen, I want to thank Mark Gorman and Michael Harmon for coming in this evening. Michael Harmon's Public Works Director. Mark Gorman is the municipal administrator and sort of planted the seed for this idea, this program for sure. I want to thank our guest panel, Hugh Bevan, Max Rule, Jerry Hope, and Bert Stedman for coming in tonight. Thank you all, gentlemen, for coming in. I want to thank our reporter, Rachel Waldholtz, and our new summer news intern, Greta Mart, who helped me field calls and Facebook comments tonight. And I want to thank you, the listeners, for listening to and participating in our radio town hall meeting, Driving Us Crazy, How to Pay for Pavement in Sitka. If you joined late, you'll be able to find the complete audio for this program, as well as Michael Harmon's PowerPoint slides on our website, kcaw.org. You are listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Coming up next, we'll have BBC headlines followed by the Mount Edgecombe Radio Club. Thanks for joining me. I'm Robert Woolsey, News Director. Have a great evening.
Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside every darkened door, where blues won't haunt you anymore. Where the brave are free and lovers soar, come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate.
hesitate to break down the garden gate. There's not much time left today.